Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, the present moment is an absolutely wonderful thing some of those times, and sometimes we really want to capture that moment. And I don't know if you remember, not so long ago, and for some people still, what would happen if you want to capture the moment? There's this joyful thing that's happening, and we would take a picture, and then what would we have to do? We would have to wait to use up the whole roll, and then we would have to take it down to the drugstore and wait for it to be sent out, wait for it to be processed, and a week later, we would be able to celebrate the present, wouldn't we? But by that point, it's like a week in the past, right? But nowadays, we have this wonderful thing, don't we? I mean, here as pastor, I could say, this is so beautiful to be standing up here in front of my congregation. I want to capture this moment, don't I? And all I have to do is reach in my pocket, and I swipe on my phone, and sometimes it doesn't want to, and I could say, cheese, and I could take pictures of you and you, and I could not forget the choir and take a picture of you. And now here I have right there the present moment, and I could say, Sue, look at that, the present moment, the choir, how wonderful are they, right? But it gets even more so. I mean, sometimes technology little boggles me. I might look young, but when it comes to technology, I'm not always right on the cusp of it. Facebook, here's our social media, has this new thing, and I don't know how ready I am for this, but Facebook has this thing called Facebook Live, okay? And what is Facebook Live? But Facebook Live is giving this opportunity where I, right now, as pastor, I could go into my Facebook. And however you do it, see, I haven't even looked at how you do it because I'm just not ready for this technology. But I could go to Facebook Live and I could hold up my phone and live, other people on Facebook could be seeing what's going on right in front of me right now, okay? Would you like that if right now my friends on Facebook were logging in and they saw you, my congregation, listening to my sermon? Yeah, if I did that, would you guys be thrilled? I'm not so ready for that, of everybody being able to see what I'm doing live on social media, but it just shows, one, how the world is progressing, but two, it shows this need for us to be in the present with one another, doesn't it? To be celebrating what's going on right now with each of us. But there's a realization each day that yes, there are these things that we want to be celebrating together and we want the whole world to know it's happening. Here it is. Be with me in this moment. But not every moment is like that. Sometimes what's going on in the present is a little more dark and dreary than we would like it to be. And that present moment is where we get with our friend Ebenezer Scrooge. In our story of A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge had to live through Jacob Marley's ghost coming and visiting him and giving him warning that if he stays in his cold-hearted, stingy, greedy nature of a life, that he's going to end up like Jacob Marley in the afterlife, carrying along chains of his sins. And then he goes through the ghost of Christmas past, having to look back at how he was in the past that created who he is in the present. Phew, I'm gonna get this. And what does he see in that past? But he has to see those difficult memories, those ones that created this black heart, but he had to see and recognize that in the midst of those tough memories were also joy-filled and good memories too, that at this point he's suppressed and hidden and forgotten. Well, now Ebenezer Scrooge gets visited by the ghost of Christmas present and forces him to go outside the comforts of his home to see what's living around him. And here in the town that he's in, never is portrayed as this happy, twinkling light Christmas scene. No, it's a dark and dreary scene as you see outside of Ebenezer Scrooge's home the poverty that lies around him. That poverty that he was asked to reach in his pocket and give to, and he rejected, saying they must take care of themselves and lay in the beds that they have made. But here he sees this poverty. Here he sees this dark and dreary town. but then must go into the home of his worker, his employee, Bob Cratchit. And Ebenezer Scrooge, he knows the difficult life that Bob Cratchit must live because he knows the wage that he gives him. And he, as the boss, knows farewell that that wage isn't enough to take care of the family that Bob Cratchit has. He knows that Christmas can't be that merry because Bob Cratchit can't have enough to make it merry for his family. And then he has to see Tiny Tim, right? Bob Cratchit's youngest son, who's crippled and must walk with a cane. But here Tiny Tim has this smile upon his face, right? And here within this, what should be dark and dreary, not having enough for Christmas presents, not having enough for a family feast, having a son that is crippled and ill, and this tiny little goose upon the table. And what does Bob Cratchit exclaim? "But I have never seen such a goose, such a wonderful goose on Christmas Day. It didn't matter the size. It was a wonderful goose with a family of love around it." And Ebenezer Scrooge needed to see that even in the dark, even in the dreary, even in the times that are far from perfect, merriment and joy can happen. Well, let's go to the present, pretending that the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter is the present. And here, what is the present? But the present can be seen as dark and dreary once again. Here we have a Roman Empire that is oppressing God's people, this foreign rule coming upon them and making their rules for God's people. God's people who are begging for relief, God's people who are begging for a political savior to come in and save them from this government, to give them peace, a political peace so desperately needed. And go within that and hear the census is called. And we could see dark and dreary for Mary, because here Mary is ready to give birth. And what does she have to do but not stay in the comforts of her home, stay surrounded by her family? But here she has to get on a donkey and travel many, many, many miles to go to Bethlehem. And there she will give birth. Will she give birth in a hospital? No. Will she give birth in her home with a maidservant? No. Will she give birth in a comfortable inn? No. But here she is sent to the stable, surrounded not by medical people, but surrounded by animals. And where must she lay her newborn child? But not in a cradle, not in a crib, but in a manger. This can be dark. This can be dreary. But God is here. Because God is seeing this dark and dreary. God is seeing the situation of his people. God is seeing the situation of Mary. God is seeing the situation of Joseph. And what is God saying? But God is screaming, "Emmanuel." God is saying, "I am with you. It is dark, it is dreary. You are doing what you should not be doing, but here, guess what? I am breaking through this darkness and I am in your midst." That first Christmas day when Jesus emerged and cried for the first time, he was crying, "Emmanuel, I am here. I am here to give you peace. I am here to give you comfort. I am here to rescue you from yourself and to bring you new light." Do not look at the darkness. Do not look at what's surrounding you, but gaze your eyes upon me and see what I bring. You see, today there's dark and dreary all around us. Today we open the news and I see that God's heart is breaking in Syria. God's heart is breaking for his children that are dying and looking for refuge in Syria. I see that God's heart is breaking in Africa as his children are dying of starvation and malaria and AIDS. I see God's heart breaking around the world as people are living under corrupt governments that are costing them their lives and keeping them in unjust poverty. I see God's heart breaking around the United States as guns take lives. I see God's heart breaking in the city of Denver as I read reports of police taking homeless blankets and tents and sleeping bags and jackets to try to scare them off the streets. I see God's heart breaking at every injustice that's happening. But God, in the midst of this injustice, in the midst of starvation, in the midst of wars, in the midst of poverty and disease, in the midst of a cancer-riddled world, God's heart is breaking, but God is screaming, Emmanuel, I am with you. God is saying, Christmas Day is the reminder that I am with you no matter the darkness, the light is shining. It may be dim because of the darkness, but God says, I am there and the world cannot snuff me out. So here we come to see the light. Here we come to experience God and be reminded that we are not alone, no matter the situation we are going through. But here we come and we say, what am I, a humble human, to bring on Christmas Day? We may say, I don't have enough. We may say, I can't find it. But that is our story of the day, to remind us of those shepherds being there. That God didn't find the rich or the wealthy. God didn't find the powerful. God did not find those that had it all together and were fully joy-filled in their life because everything is just springing up roses. God found the outcast, the smelly, the wanderer that lived with sheep, those shepherds, and he called them by his angels, and he said, come and be the first to see my child. Come and be the first to witness that I am there on earth to save you. And those shepherds, they were not the ones to bring the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. They didn't come in fancy, expensive purple linens. They came in humility, bringing sheep along with them. And what did they bring but the thing that God wanted more than anything else in all the world? They brought their worship and their praise. This week, God's light is coming to shine in this dark world. God is coming to scream, Emmanuel, I am coming to rescue you and save you and love you and bring you comfort and peace. And God says, this week, will you be able, with humility, to fall on your knees and bring me the one and only thing I need, your worship and your praise? Will you bring your worship and your praise?